time has come to relieve that pain, which will be better for me, but not so enjoyable for all of you.
The Pain Clinic Pro Wrestling Talk Show. Can you feel the pain?
Welcome to the Pain Clinic for January 25th. Holidays today, one of my favorites, and one of the Rock's favorites, is National Pie Day. What kind of pie? Whatever pie you like. It's also National Handwriting Day and Measure Your Feet Day. I don't know if it has anything to do with pie, but very bizarre holidays. Birthdays today, former WWF and NWA wrestler Leilani Kai is 61. Pain Clinic's brought to you by Salvatore's Old Fashioned Pizzeria, Palmer's Food Service, and Donuts Delight, Empire at Culver. Hey, interested in roller derby? Want to be a skater? Officiate? Rock City Roller Derby needs you. Contact recruitment at rockderbyrecruitment@gmail.com and join Rock City Roller Derby. Now, you may wonder why I'm whipping through those so quick. Because, one, first of all, people don't like waiting 5 minutes for us to get into the show. And second of all, today is the Painies. Got some very handsome guys. You'll see the pictures on our Facebook page, but definitely check them out. But we are doing the Painies today, and that's our annual end of the year awards. And you can vote on them, or you could vote on them. Not anymore, because we're doing the show now.
Too late.
And we've got some. There's some news too. I mean, I'll tease the news we'll do later. And then we'll get it right into the Painies. But the Impact AEW crossover is still happening, and it's thriving a bit more after this past week. We'll talk about that later. We also will talk about a big announcement about WrestleMania for the next couple of years, and probably give our thoughts on that as well. The Royal Rumble is 1 week from tomorrow, and we do not want to miss that. And because a certain Raw superstar who was burned 2 weeks ago has threatened to burn down the Royal Rumble. And he may look a lot like Mr. Wrestling 2 or possibly some other masked wrestlers, but we'll talk about Randy Orton and his burn mask later as well. But first of all, let me introduce the cast and crew of the show. I'm your humble host, the Cash Man, and joined by Danger Boy. How you doing, Danger?
Good morning.
Danger with the Zubaz tie on, for those of you who are looking at on Facebook Live right now. We are joined by Furby. How you doing, Furbs?
Good morning, everybody. The champ's here.
Sporting that heavyweight championship belt on his shoulder. We have, speaking of champs, we've got another champ, DC Dan Cole, with his championship belt, and the newest one to the collection, right, DC?
Yeah, good morning. Rocking the United States Championship, because it was a good week for America this week.
Yes, it was. And Rob Sanderson, Rob the RT Sanderson, joining us. No belt on your shoulder. That's okay. You don't have
no belt.
I can put this on my shoulder.
Look at that.
Garlic bread.
He's got the garlic bread. So that if you want to see the garlic bread, you definitely want to check out the webpage, okay? Because he's got the nice to come prepared.
You getting paid for that?
Nothing like garlic bread at 10 a.m.
Yeah, well, why not? I remember when we had the send off for Rob Sanderson when he was going to Chicago. I believe we had garlic bread that morning.
I got some odd looks as I'm picking up donuts, and then I'm like, "Is it too early for garlic bread?" And they're like,
"Hey, I grew up on the phrase when pizza's on a bagel, you can eat pizza anytime." So the same applies for garlic bread.
I am not going to. I agree. I mean, there's any time for garlic bread as well. And at my age now, I have to have Tums with it as well on the side. But welcome to the show. It's the Painies. It's the 2021 Painies. Kind of held off a couple weeks. But we got to it. We have some great categories, and we might as well start with the number 10 choice of the paintings, and that would be we all have a couple of numbers, and you'll find out who gets to read the big winner for number 10.
Oh, that would be me. I get to kick things off.
All right.
So the first award we are doing is the Comeback of the Year. And with 44% of the vote, the award goes to
44%.
Mr. Oh, Brody Lee.
Brody Lee. All right. Deserving. And a man who was held down by WWE in the beginning of the year. Really pretty much, I'm trying to remember his last appearance. We know he showed up on a pay-per-view. Was it with Rowan or?
It was TLC, right? Or was it Clash of Champions?
His last appearance would have been that, Battle Royal in Saudi Arabia. And then there's like a house show after that on the way back. But is the contract technically, I can tell you the contract December 8th, 2019, I think is when it ended. It was literally a day before we were announcing his appearance in Corpus, and I was like, is this going to be a problem now? So,
I remember talking to you. I remember talking to you around then, too, and you were like, we can't, you know, it's like, can you announce it yet? No, we can't yet. Can you announce it yet? I kept asking because I wanted to post about it and stuff, you know?
And I didn't know what we were going to be able to call him for all of the marketing materials, too. But
well, you saw the signatures on some of the things he gave you. He signed every name he ever used, pretty it's much.
Brody. There's a Rico signature. There's an HB2 signature. There's all sorts of ones. Yeah.
Yeah. And but by the way, we do want to shout out since he's the big winner of the Comeback of the Year. He did beat out Edge, MVP, Eric Young, and the Motor City Machine Guns. But Minus One's birthday was this past week. It was celebrated at the beginning of AEW Dynamite this past Wednesday. It was pretty cool, man. It's like, you know, I loved it, and I loved how the show kind of. Merged into the Adam Page part of the portion of the Dark Order and stuff like that. So they really did a good job of moving that storyline forward after celebrating with Minus One and, of course, Dr. Luther eating a face full of cake there. Because you knew someone was going to, right?
My favorite line of Dynamite was definitely, my birthday was 3 days ago, you idiots.
Yes. That's true.
I was getting
carried out. But it's the funniest part of the whole deal was when they had Adam Page, when they thought he was going to say yes, and so they had the dancing people and all the celebration and the confetti and everything, and dude's trying to push
him. He said yes.
yeah, the big sign. And so they were trying to push him back in. So now we're going to go to the moment of the year is the next award. Moment of the year. Who's lucky enough to?
It'll be me. Let me bust out the envelope here. Moment of the year with 37% COVID-19 impacts the wrestling world, which is obviously a pretty general thing, but it's obviously a very different year than normal. So. Hard not to pick that.
Yeah, I mean, it truly affected, I mean, more than wrestling, it affected everything in the world. So you could say that this was the moment of the year for everything involved in the world, you know.
And the runner-up with about 30%, Mr. Brody Lee dominates Cody, which would have been to win the TNT title on the Saturday Night Dynamite. Also a very good choice.
Yeah,
3 minutes and 9 seconds, I believe, bell to bell.
And there was a couple other ones. Sting returns was another one. Edge returns at the Royal Rumble. Omega and Don Callis steal the championship. Not the big winners. The big winners, you know, of course, COVID-19. And unfortunately,
the big loser.
We're the big losers because of it, I think. You know, it's like we've been remote. We've been doing these remote shows. I mean, it'll be a year in March that I've been the only one up here at the station. So it's pretty crazy. So on to the next wonderful award. It would be the Breakout Star of the Year. This is highly contested, I'm guessing, because there's a lot of breakout names that I see in this list.
It's actually not as close as you would think. It is the Breakout Star of the Year with 34.62% of the vote. Orange Cassidy.
Orange Cassidy. Yeah, you know, it's hard to deny him, but man, you could really, any of these names in this list here, you could sit there and build up a huge resume of why they should be the winner. I mean,
and there was a tie for second place between MJF and Sammy Guevara with only 15%. So Orange Cassidy was the runaway winner.
Wow.
Of a category where a lot of people got double-digit votes, but no one was close to him.
Yeah, I was going to say, and you know,
shout out to AEW then with getting the top three breakout stars, making new stars for everybody who wants to complain. Oh, they just take WWE rejects, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's some pretty big WWE name on there too. Keith Lee, you know, I think, you know, you can't, and Kyle O'Reilly, you know, I mean,
Keith Lee's turnout is very surprising to me on this.
Yeah, it was low, I'm guessing.
Yeah, it was very low.
He was the second lowest.
Wow.
And I was going to say, of all categories, I think Breakout Star of the Year probably had the best nominations. However, Orange Cassidy was probably, in my opinion, the most expected winner.
That, no, I mean, Darby.
I just feel like with Keith Lee, they had the potential for Keith Lee to have clinched this easily, but they dropped the ball. Like, they gave him all that momentum and then, like, oh, never mind.
Wait. WWE dropped the ball on something?
No, it doesn't happen with every single person they called up ever. Yeah.
Not in the past year. Oh, wait a second. Yeah. Well, we had Darby Allin in there, too. He's another one who, I mean, and when you get as much press as he got this past week on Dynamite, they bring him out for a whole segment with Sting. You know, Darby is, you know, I mean, there's a whole handful of these guys that are the future of this business, you know, which is pretty cool. You know, I'm definitely excited about that. So we'll do one more before we go to break. That would take us to the next one, which would be Promotion of the Year. Boy, I can make a prediction on this one because I know who I voted for, and I'm guessing, but I want to hear the answer to this one.
All right. So I have Promotion of the Year. So looking at the winner with 70% of the vote is All Elite Wrestling.
Wow.
Yeah, that's not even close.
Did you say World Wrestling Entertainment? I couldn't.
Remember the days when we did the painties and all the only people who won were the WWE people? I mean, that was like, you just get me mad too, you know?
I think the most shocking part about this is the fact that there was only four promotions that got votes.
Oh.
So listing up promotions, AEW, NWA, NXT, WWE, New Japan, ROH, Impact, MLW. WWE got zero votes.
Wow.
And I have to add in, last year, WWE received zero votes.
Wow, 2 years in a row. Fans.
I just want to say, I think it's impressive that this was AEW's first full year of existence, and to do it through almost the whole year in a pandemic, that's a big accomplishment. I can only imagine how much more they maybe could have clinched things if they weren't running mostly empty arenas and were actually touring and had the live crowds that could cheer on all those breakout stars and everything. So I think it's a big deal.
Oh, I agree 100%. And I think that's a good point to bring up, is that AEW really was in their first year when this COVID-19 thing happened. You know, I mean, that most,
like every other company had kind of been established, and so they're going to have their fans that stick around and stuff. But for people to check out something new that's in a pandemic and everything and stuff, like that's some extra work to get those people in. So
you got to hand it to them for the year they had, though, with very few exceptions. It seems to me that AEW was more consistent in giving you a reason to tune in.
Yeah.
Well, let me add, you know, it's funny, is I read this quote last week from Bully Ray, who said that he called AEW a super indie, which some people took offense to. Some people said, yeah, they can see what you're talking about. But just curious, Furby, who are the other three that got votes?
The other three was NXT with 22% and a tie between New Japan and MLW with 3%.
No Impact? Wow. That's and I mean, I would almost say NXT is WWE, but it's not. It's its own separate brand. But no, yeah, interesting. Interesting votes from the people. These were voted on by you folks, those listeners of the show. And on that note, we're going to take a break. We'll be back right after this. You're listening to The Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man with DC Dan Cole, all the way from North Carolina. The Artiste is in Rochester, New York. Furby and Hilton and Danger Boy in the town of Gates. So
yep.
Yeah, so don't go look into Robbie's house. He's there right now. Welcome back to the show. Having a little fun. We're doing our painies. It's the 2021 painies, and we are going to get into our next painie award, which would be the next award and the list is Event of the Year.
Let's see. Yeah, I picked number 6 and 9. No reason there. So that is
right.
Me. So the winner with nearly 69% of the vote, actually, 67.86%.
I sense
the
a theme
Brody
going.
Lee Celebration of Life.
I sense a theme here.
What?
I sense a theme. 69%, you know.
Oh. He also paid $6.90 for that loaf of garlic bread.
It's true.
Yeah.
Wow. I added the side of the pasta sauce, though, to dip it in. So that's another dollar. Y'all, you have to. Well, extra crispy, too.
So what was anyway. Yeah, go ahead.
So Brody Lee Celebration of Life, obviously, that's a very special event and something that's not going to happen very often, and we talked before about how that can't really happen with just anybody. I think had we been in a situation where that didn't have to happen, the runner-up to mention was an easy choice in my mind, AEW Revolution, which was, of course, the February pay-per-view in Chicago in front of a crowd, Moxley beating Jericho, and that really good tag team match. So Young Bucks and Omega and Page, of course. So Revolution was second. Royal Rumble was third, one of my favorite experiences being there in Houston. So weird to think about being in a place with 50,000 other people. And can that happen again at some point? So
hopefully. So that means third place was Slammiversary then.
I think those were the only ones that actually got votes.
Oh, okay. So,
it was a pretty, I mean, obviously the Brody Lee Celebration of Life far and away. Winning on that. So
very excellent. We are definitely moving straight ahead in these awards here. We're coming up to
the one quick thing to mention, though, obviously, yeah. The pay-per-views, like Slam, like Royal Rumble and Revolution getting the votes there, those were crowds. Nothing without real crowds got it. So you can talk all day about the wrestling and the matches and everything, but it makes a difference, and hopefully we'll get crowds. Well, we can talk about Mania at some point.
Yeah, what's going to happen next year if we have no crowds? I mean, and maybe this is something we'll talk about when we talk about WrestleMania later, because there may be crowds at it. We'll talk about that. But, yeah, the event of the year always, you know, it's like, you know, it's funny is not seeing WrestleMania in there, because usually that was a standard, which we have won many years on the painies. Not this
year. Revolution, of course, had the live Jericho acapella performance. Everybody had those glow up, like the light up wristbands in the crowd and stuff. Like the whole thing was just an awesome spectacle. So definitely one of my favorite pay-per-views ever.
All right, so we come up to the next award. It's Match of the Year, and I get to do this one, Match of the Year. There are a Match of the Year that we had 5 up on the list there, but it looks like only 4 really got votes. But the winner for Match of the Year would be Omega and Page versus the Young Bucks with 35.71%, which we just talked about from Revolution. That was, just an incredible match, incredible pay-per-view. It went very well in order, you know, that we talked about the pay-per-view and then one of the big matches off of it. Coming in second, Dragunov versus Walter, I remember that.
Actually, I think second place was Daniel Bryan.
Oh,
and AJ
I'm sorry.
Styles.
I'm sorry. I can't tell the difference between 10 and 25. Sorry, 25. Daniel Bryan versus AJ Styles, 25%. It's like super small, and I'm old, so it's hard for me to see. And then we have Dragunov versus Walter in third, and War Games finished fourth in the voting. War Games, excellent match. It's been an excellent match every year. To be honest with you, I didn't think this past year's was as good as the years before. But excuse me, but I think that it was just a. It still is just an incredible to plan that kind of match out and to have it, you know, to, and get the people in the tips, in, you know, in your palm of your hands while you're going through. And it's just amazing, you know, the way that they control the crowd by, you know, the way things. And I know the crowds fed in for War Games and everything, but it still was just an absolutely incredible match. So,
and I think Brody and Cody in the dog collar match probably would have been my runner up, but I just want to say that. I know I just mentioned that tag match a moment ago, that this was by far the easiest category for me to, like, I didn't have to think for a second that Omega and Paige against the Young Bucks. That's, people said it was one of the best tag team matches of all time. I fully, fully back that. So that was an easy choice for me.
Yeah, and you know the thing too, it's kind of crazy. We only really got one Omega Paige match after they broke up, right? It wasn't really like a long extended series. I mean, they really could have been fighting for 6 months on this show, you know? And maybe it still can happen.
Well, we talked a lot about how, like, Omega and Paige got to the finals there, and then, you know, Omega's probably going to win the belt, and then Paige can go after a Revolution. None of us expected this whole Impact invasion thing, but I'm sure that could still happen down the road, but they've got so many other things going on right now, so.
All right, so
hopefully we'll get that match at some point.
Definitely. Any of you guys have any thoughts on these awards? DC, you corrected me, and so you know. but how about you, Ferbs? How about you, Danger?
I mean, to be fair, I did do the tabulating.
So far, a lot of the winners are what I thought they would be. So nothing far off from what I went with. Nice to see a few of my nominees get some love.
Yeah, it's not anything surprising so far. It's about what I expected for voting, and we'll see if that holds up for the rest of the other four awards we have left, correct?
Oh, yeah, and we've got
what are those awards called?
The panties.
Panties.
Don't get your panties in a bunch.
We got them all bunched together.
Oh, there we go. So the next one is a good award, the next one. We're up to number four. This is Faction of the Year. And there's some great teams in there. There's been some really good factions this past year, created, you know, as well as perpetuated through the year. And I get to announce this one as well. So with the big winner with 44.44%, my favorite number, by the way, 44, was the Dark Order. And this is even cooler, is in second place, it was a tie. And it was in second place. It was a tie, and remember, it was 44.44% for the Dark Order. The tie for second was Undisputed Era with 18.52, tied with Inner Circle with 18.52. So that was that big of a margin, over 20% margin for the Dark Order, and then the Hurt Business finishing fourth with 14.81%. So, I agree 100%. I mean, the Dark Order really got injected, the Brody Lee injection, and that really pushed them, really gave them more prominence on TV as well. And it's like, and I think, you know, the worst thing in the world that could have happened was we lost Brody Lee this past year. But man, the Dark Order is still being pushed pretty heavily since then. So I'm really happy about that. Anybody have any thoughts?
I was just going to say, I think what set the Dark Order apart here from the rest of these groups is, yes, they did some impressive stuff on Dynamite, but the stuff that, you know, some people don't watch, but I follow, is the Being the Elite stuff. And that's where you see this whole other side of the group, and I think that's what put them over the top.
And I think that's what it's like being the Dark Order, and that really, I mean, they're the stars of that show now.
Absolutely. It was like the whole evolution of the faction, and it really gave them a personality. And that's where we saw guys like, you know, John Silver really become a big deal. You know, he was one of our, you know, nominees for Breakout Star of the Year. And you really saw a side of that group that was evolutionized. I mean, Anna Jay as well.
And everybody knows who Griff Garrison is.
I mean, I think you also, like we mentioned before too, you have to give credit. I did not expect them to win with 44%. I figured it would have been maybe a win with a lower percentage than that, but that's probably year to year the biggest improvement for any faction, because if a year ago we had a worst faction of the year award, unfortunately it might have been Dark Order. They were floundering at the end of 2019, so that is a gigantic step forward, and props to Mr. Brody Lee for a lot of that.
Oh, without a doubt, without a doubt. And man, and you know what? And the best thing now is we've got the three best awards to do, still to go. I'm so excited. Number three, this is the tag team of the year. Who's one of you guys got that?
I got tag team of the year, and I can go out and say probably this is the closest, maybe, of all the awards. But your winner, and kind of a shock to me, but the Young Bucks with 37% of the vote is your winner for tag team of the year.
Wow, people love the Young Bucks, man. They really do. It's like, it's except for, you know, like people who are in power in WWE as well as like Jim Cornette, but everybody else loves the Young Bucks, you know. You know.
And if you get a chance, go to Barnes & Noble, grab a copy of their book, Killing the Business. I finished it in 2 days, and I tell you, I was not a big Young Bucks fan before I read that. I'm a fan for life.
I think with the Bucks, I like this was one where I kind of had a thought of maybe another team, and then I thought about it more and more, and thought about that Revolution match, thought about their match with Butcher and Blade that went all over the place with the tables off the stage and stuff, and I just think they could have had a much better year had they stayed healthy, had they been pushed sooner, whatever, but they still, they didn't have that dominant of a year in terms of like wins and titles and stuff, but they still had the best tag matches, I think. So that's impressive too, I think. But I did end up voting for them in the end.
And coming in second was the Street Profits with 25% of the vote, Omega and Page with 18%, and the Golden Row Models with 14%, and then the North had 3%.
I wonder, you know, the North really had, I think last year, I think I voted for them for tag team of the year. And I think this past year when they kind of broke apart, lost their titles and went their own separate ways, it's like, I think that because that happened towards the end of the year, that kind of was fresh in my mind. But the North really had another excellent year for a tag team. You know, I mean, one of the things to
watch. They deserve more than 3% for sure.
Yeah, I was going to say that one of the things to watch on Impact with those guys, you know, and so now, and now. Ethan and now the Page.
Not anymore, though.
Yeah, yeah. I know. Well, you know, yeah, it's done.
Get Alexander in singles and see what Page is up to next.
Well, yeah, besides being angry for the Karate Man match last weekend, which if you got a chance to watch it, it was terrible. It was edited terribly together. It was supposed to be, yes, comedic and funny. Kind of like his bits where he was like, you know, sitting at the psychologist table or couch where, and they, you know, he's talking to himself the whole time. They tried to like keep doing that cinematic style. It was yeah, but you know what, you know, he came out immediately and said it sucked and sorry. You know, but so now we're up to number two. Got two awards left. Female Wrestler of the Year.
Okay, Female Wrestler of the Year, and this one I'm not surprised, and it was also pretty close with 30.77% of the vote. Bailey beats out Sasha Banks for number one.
Wow.
You know, having basically the title for the whole entire year does not shock me. So, you know, props to Bailey. Obviously, my favorite women's wrestler is Sasha, but, you know, props to Bailey on that.
I voted for Bailey because even when Bailey doesn't hold the title, she comes out and freaking and dominates what's going on. You know, and that's a big plus. I enjoy what she's doing. I actually thought Asuka might be up there with you know, close to. Where'd Asuka fall?
Asuka's down towards the bottom.
Really?
It was Bailey, Sasha, and then Io Shirai.
Well, you know, I agree.
Asuka tied Shida.
Yeah.
Bailey and Sasha being some combination of one and two is no surprise. And that, as much crap as we talk about WWE, I mean, their women's division is the best. And those are obviously two big reasons of it. So I think it's a toss up. I mean, I probably give the edge to Bailey, but I mean, Sasha is certainly not far behind.
Yeah, I mean,
Bailey, though, definitely.
And then WWE goes out and signs three more this week.
Yeah, WWE signed a bunch more. What did you say, DC?
I was just saying, you know, and I know we've talked about it, but, you know, with this year, with how difficult it was with COVID and the impact it had, Bailey was one of those bright spots for WWE. It didn't matter what she was doing. Singles competition, tag team, you know, sitting down at commentary, she was a star for them this year.
Well, I who can forget when they first started doing the in the Performance Center when they were doing Raw in there, and you could hear her talking to the commentators while she was wrestling and telling them to shut up and, you know, get it right. And, you know, just trying to correct them all the time. I definitely thought that she, you know, she grasped the moment and actually shone very well. So, Danger, you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I voted for Bayley. I thought she had a great year. I voted for Bayley and Sasha as tag team of the year too. I loved everything they did earlier in the year. And like you said, they were the bright spot of the beginning of the COVID, you know, shows. They were what you turned on to watch. That everything else was almost unwatchable, but you had to catch that Bayley and Sasha segment. So I'm not surprised they're 1 and 2. I am surprised Asuka wasn't a little higher, because she was another one of those bright spots. But yeah, I'm not surprised.
So now we're down to the last award of the 2021 Painey Awards. What could be the last award? What haven't we gotten to yet?
Could it be Male Wrestler of the Year?
Satan? No. I thought you were doing a little church lady there for a second. Okay. Yes.
All right. And this one. Your winner, Male Wrestler of the Year with 35.71% of the vote.
I don't even know what you're going to say yet, but I'm shocked at that.
That much, yeah.
Drew McIntyre.
Well, you know, he got the ball during COVID and pretty much held it to this day still, you know. I voted for him. Yeah. I'll admit that. I voted for Drew McIntyre, but I could see a case for Roman Reigns, you know, heel turn in the middle of all this and, you know, coming back after stepping down from WrestleMania. You know, of course, Orange Cassidy being popular, but, you know, I don't know about Male Wrestler of the Year. You know, definitely.
He was the bottom vote getter, Orange Cassidy was. But coming in second was John Moxley, was 17.86% of the vote.
Wow.
And then we had a tie for third with Kota Ibushi and Kenny Omega both getting 14.29%.
Wow.
I was really torn between Moxley and Omega. Omega not doing a ton in the middle of the year had me go toward Moxley. But if you look at the very beginning and the very end of the year, to me, it's absolutely Omega. So that's where I was kind of back and forth. But McIntyre's a good pick, for sure. And I remember that pop when he, as simple as it was, when he eliminated Lesnar from that Rumble, you could tell in that moment, like, that it was going to be his year.
Yeah, one of the few things we saw in front of a crowd. So, yeah, got 3 months, you know, almost 3 months of wrestling in front of a crowd. So those are the 2021 Paineys. Congratulations on all the voting, everybody. We'll do it again next year, but we got to go to break right now because we're up against it. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic. I'm the Cash Man with DC Dan Cole, Danger Boy, Furby, and the Artiste had to take off, so we have one more thing we wanted to do in our 2021 Paineys, and it's something we talked about last week a little bit. You know how we have, like, you know, all the wonderful great awards? Well, there's always, like, those awards for, like, the worst moments of the year, and that's what we're going to go with now. Who wants to go first with their thoughts on the worst moment of the year? I'll go first, and then I'll pick somebody. Right now, but the worst, I'm going to go with Vince McMahon starting Retribution as like a Antifa like movement on Monday Night Raw, first smashing in doors with rocks, two burning the generator, trying to take them off the air, and then even better, they all of a sudden signed them so that they could beat them from the inside. Yeah, beat them from the inside. That's the best. You know, we might have been a revolutionary company, revolutionary guys, but now we're going to join your company, take a paycheck from you, and beat you from the inside. So I give my worst moment was the debut of Retribution. And the worst thing, too, is, you know, there was nobody set to be Retribution the first, like, month they showed up. We knew it was going to be some call-ups from NXT. And if you guys aren't familiar with who is who, they're all NXT guys that are in Retribution, former NXT guys. But I will give my worst moment was the debut of Retribution and the whole philosophy behind it. How about you, Ferbs? What do you say was the worst moment this past year?
I was going to say, I guess I'll go next because mine actually debuted the same night. It was the start of Raw Underground. One of the dumbest segments I've seen because of how bad they did it. It had so much potential, but, I mean, it's not even on TV anymore. So
You know what's interesting?
I almost felt like it was just an excuse for us to have to look at a sweaty Shane McMahon.
Yeah, yeah, in a cutoff sweatshirt or whatever most of the time. But the funny thing is, it was like it was a ring without any ropes or corner posts. Cool. And then it was like half ring at one point too. Like it was only it's the same one I think they're using for the backstage interviews now.
Yeah, I mean, it was their attempt to try to get over shoot fighting that, you know, they had guys that didn't all seem all that credible at some time. Some guys better than others. And then it was just like, what the heck?
So why don't you pick the next person, Verb? You got two people.
We'll go with Danger. We'll go with Danger.
All right, we'll go with mine. And mine happened on a night that we saw Money in the Bank. And while there was awesome moments like where you got to see the actual T-Rex skull that's in Vince McMahon's office, we also got to see the blatant felony of two attempted murders as Baron Corbin threw both Aleister Black and Rey Mysterio, who's had a fun year, over the top of the building and tried to kill them to win a shot at the title.
I believe somebody said they tried to kill him the next night, too. I believe someone mentioned that. Yeah, that was terrible. I mean, you know, yes, we did eventually got the behind-the-scenes shot where you really it was only like a four-foot drop to the next level of the building. But not when you were watching it on TV. It's like, and if you're like, if you believe what you're seeing, you think you just saw two murders. You might, and people called 911 and said some people are being thrown off the top of the building in Stamford.
You also have to remember that they also portray Titan Towers as like a 10 to 12 story building, and it's like three or four.
It's like four, I think. Yeah, because I remember when HBK was on the top of it doing the DX thing, you know.
WWE, no strangers to attempted murder on their programming. Setting people on fire, throwing them off buildings, putting them in garbage trucks.
Yeah, you know.
Exploding a limousine.
Yeah.
I guess that leaves me, and I'm glad I get to follow Danger Boy, because, as he mentioned, you know, a pretty rough year for Rey Mysterio. It started with him almost getting murdered by being thrown off of Titan Tower. And my moment of the year for things that were just god awful didn't get any better for him when he lost an eye at the hands of Randy Orton. Or no, Seth Rollins.
Seth Rollins. Remember that guy? Guy hasn't been around in a while.
God.
Yeah, I'm sure Seth Rollins
just
will show up.
Fake eye and pretending to. Oh, God. It was just so stupid.
Oh, I did not like it. We still haven't seen Aleister Black yet since then, I think. You know, it's been a while, but. That was terrible. And you know, the worst thing is because because you had to be really watching close when that match happened to be able to see it. But when we got the frozen shots that were like memes the next day, it was just like gross. Danger.
Oh, and then we know how much Vince McMahon loves vomit. So they had Seth Rollins throwing up.
Yeah.
Yes.
Of course. Yeah. Seth Rollins puking after that. So what was the artiste? He had to leave, but he had one too, didn't he? We were talking about it before the show. I can't remember now what he was going to do. There's been plenty of bad things to talk about, but it's a shame. You know, we take callers and let them tell us their bad ones, but I think ours were like pretty much the top of the heap, you know? Can't get much worse. So
it'd be hard to find something worse.
Man, there, you know, and you know, just every once in a while you think about like some of the things where they do something for 2 weeks and they realize how poor taste it is and they stop doing it. You know, there's so many of those in the history of the WWE. You know, I'm just glad we're not getting more eye gouges because I don't need to see that anymore. You know, and nor Retribution, nor Raw Underground. It's all these things are good to be gone, and thank goodness. But let's do a piece of news before we go to break because that's the end of the painies, the awards portion of it, but we do want to get in a few pieces of news. One thing I wanted to mention, and we'll do this before we go to break, WrestleMania had a big announcement this past week. Actually, the announcement for the next 3 years, and it wasn't Sports Illustrated breaking it, and it wasn't Entertainment Weekly breaking it. It actually came from WWE. They actually posted that they have the next three dates for WrestleMania. And WrestleMania 37, which was supposed to be in SoFi Stadium, is now in Tampa Bay. Raymond James Stadium. Going to be April 11th, which will be probably one of the latest WrestleManias I remember in quite a while.
Yeah, they pushed it back. It was originally March 27th. They pushed it back a couple weeks.
Yeah, and so that's going to happen. And then today I saw some details where they're reportedly planning for 25,000 fans to attend both. And it's going to be two nights, too. It's going to be two nights.
Hope it's 25,000 fans between the two nights, because that seems like a lot.
Yeah, they...
Welcome to Florida.
Why not? They're allowed to do it. They might as well. But the worst thing is, you're flying into COVID Central, if you're going to go there. And this is not that far away. We're talking April. Right now, we're at the end of January, or virtually the end. So it's like it's going to be the 10th and 11th of April, and which is a good idea to do it two nights. They did announce WrestleMania 38 is going to be at AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Dallas, which they had just a couple of years ago where they had the biggest crowd ever or whatever. At least they stated it was. That's going to be Sunday, April 3rd, 2022, and then finally they're going to be going to SoFi Stadium in. For WrestleMania 39, April 2nd, 2023. So I think that's interesting that they put out three straight years of it. I don't know the rationale behind it. Maybe because they haven't been able to do anything,
Well, they had rationale and they had all these already lined up. Dallas was supposed to be next year anyways. It was supposed to be SoFi this year. Obviously, they have no chance of having fans in California, so they pushed that back. And it was interesting. The first place I saw this was during the NFL games on Saturday last week.
Yeah, they threw it up as a sell or whatever, a shot on the screen, and they talked about it very briefly. So it's like, yeah, it's funny when you learn that from the NFL game. But they have, I think Fox isn't getting their money's worth from WWE. They're drawing ratings, but they're not drawing the ratings that they were expecting. And I think there's got to be some incentive to this. Partnership that they have. So that being said, we got a break because we went a little bit long the first two segments. We'll be back right after this. You're listening to the Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280. Welcome back to the Pain Clinic, and the wrestler of the year according to the 2021 Painies, Drew McIntyre. Okay, sorry, I won't do it again. Hey, welcome back to the show. I'm the Cashman. I'm here with Danger Boy, DC Dan Cole, and Furby, and you, and the Artis was with us earlier. And we got to whip through some news here real quick before we get the show runs out. So we got a couple things we want to talk about. Furby, Impact Hard to Kill pay-per-view. We had a change, a very last-minute change on the lineup. Alex Shelley getting pulled from the main event, and they put Moose in his place. Now, I never really heard the explanation why that was done.
They didn't really give an explanation other than Alex Shelley did come out and post a video saying it wasn't health-related, it wasn't COVID-related, there's something personal. So hopefully everything's all right with him. But I got to tell you, Moose looked like a superstar in that match. And, Rich Swann getting pinned, like, he looked so good against Omega and the Good Brothers in the ring. Like, I think all six of those guys in that match won, to be honest. So it was a heck of a pay-per-view overall. I was very, very, very happy and satisfied watching that.
I will say that it could have been the end of the Impact AEW crossover, but it wasn't. If you watch Impact this past week, you got to see one of the favorite tag teams of Matt Hardy, I believe, right, Ferbs?
Yeah, Private Party, the Hardy Party.
You got to see Private Party wrestle on Impact in the main event, and with Matt Hardy, and of course Matt Hardy's getting like 30%, I think, of their take, whatever that might be. I could see a future heel turn coming out from that too, as well. But that. For sure, they're continuing on. We got Tony Khan ringside at the end of that night with Tony Schiavone. They're the only people I've seen in the Impact Zone besides wrestlers, and Tony Tony Khan was taking notes the whole time during the match. So I love this. I love it. They're still doing it. Of course, they come back on AEW this past week, and it's they're going to keep it going for a while. I think it's great.
Yeah, I do too. It's fantastic. Private Party, new number one contenders for the Impact Tag Team Championships. Yeah. They'll go after the Good Brothers at No Surrender, February 13th.
Very cool. That, and also some things going on as well is which I mean, that's super exciting. I love crossovers. I didn't think it was going to keep going, and it did. And Tony Khan, you know, I mean, yes, he's done the pre-shot stuff, but when he actually walked into the arena and sat down next to that, I was pretty impressed. I said, but definitely without a doubt, big deal. So we're up against it for time, but we've got a few topics that we want to pump out real quick before one, because there's a couple that we didn't really talk too much about, but we definitely want to mention The Undertaker. I don't know if you saw The Undertaker's interview this past week with Joe Rogan, but he was telling him, he was saying he doesn't really get WWE anymore. He doesn't get what's going on, and he really is not a fan of what they're doing, which he felt also was going to get him in trouble. Pretty
thinks
bold.
The product is soft.
Yeah, pretty bold statement from The Undertaker, you know. I thought
and that something that surprised me too is he brought up the use of steroids too. And he talked about using them himself.
Yeah, yeah, which, you know, I mean, we've all known. But on that same vein, we got an announcement this past week that Sting is going to be wrestling at the next AEW pay-per-view.
Yeah, he'll be teaming with Darby Allin in a tag match against Ricky Starks. And, oh, my God, I just blanked because it's been a long been a long morning.
It has.
Brian Cage.
Yeah, Brian
and
Cage.
That's going to be a street fight, so it's not a conventional tag match. They're billing it as a street fight.
Yeah. Wonder if it will end up being cinematic.
Yeah, that's a good question.
Well, the stipulation definitely, I think, protects Sting a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, so some other news as we're running out of time. Steve Austin is going to be on the season premiere of Vice TV's Dark Side of the Ring. Now we know that the first episode of the season is going to be about the late Brian Pillman, which is incredible. Brian Pillman, I was a huge fan of. I didn't like him when he was a good guy, but when he became when he started shooting, on TV, and things like that, he became what did they call him again? Danger? What was his? He was the loose cannon. The loose cannon, and he took that with him to ECW after he had a terrible accident and broke his ankle, and it was, you know, he still on crutches was better on the mic than everybody else in ECW at the time. I will say that
Brian Pillman was awesome, and I'm very much looking forward to that one.
Definitely. But Steve Austin's going to be doing, I guess maybe he did some interviews with some other ones too. So that's cool that they've actually, you know, they've reached out to these guys, and Steve Austin still has a very tight relationship with WWE. So you got to be careful. One last thing. Oh, by the way, did you see Sammy Hagar on AEW this past week? Sammy Hagar made a surprise cameo appearance when the Red Rocker was in a short video praising the tag duo of Jake Hager and Sammy Guevara, calling Sammy Hagar. So they've been joking about that for a couple of weeks on AEW commentary, but it's like I thought that was fantastic. One last thing.
I'm pretty sure when he first debuted, Jericho called him Jake Hagar.
That's right, he did. Jake Hager. One last thing as we got to get out of here. Jason Jordan, apparently looks like he's coming back to WWE. Jason Jordan, the illegitimate son of Kurt Angle. Chad Gable was on some WWE show. It's on at the same time we're on, so I can't talk about it. But he said that Jason Jordan's working towards a potential in-ring return. I think he had a neck injury as well, so that's pretty cool to have him come back. Maybe they could reform a tag team and go where they wanted to go, you know. But unfortunately, we're out of time, and the Artiste just comes back right as we're running out of time. We got to get out of here, and I want to thank you all for listening. We'll be back next week, same bat time, same bat channel. You're listening to The Pain Clinic on Fox Sports 1280.